Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Salmon, alongside Stephen Julian. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Mike. How are you this morning?
You're getting closer and closer to me every show.
I just want more and more.
I mean that physically, by the way, not emotionally for those people out there that can't see us because
we're on
radio.
Relationship.
Yes, because we're on radio.
Well, it's just I want to get closer and closer to the greatness that is Mike Salmon.
Boy, is that one of your, promises for 2014 just to suck up to me all
absolutely.
Season long?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, anyway, we've got a great show today. We have today it's all about quality, not quantity.
That's right.
We have one guest with us today. It is Joel Beck from the Beck Law Firm. So of all folks, we have a lawyer in the room. So be on your best behavior, Stephen.
You too, Mike.
All right. Joel Beck with the Beck Law Firm. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Good morning. Tell us all about your law firm.
Hey, good morning, Mike. Good morning, Stephen. It's great to be here. The Beck Law Firm LLC is a law firm that I started back in 2007. We're located in Lawrenceville, Georgia, and we practice in three areas: small business law, basic estate planning, and securities regulation, which involves representing stockbrokers and investment advisors and their firms and legal issues relating to that their industry.
Before we get into some of the things you work on, business law, things like that, as far as your background, what made you decide to get into the field of law?
Well, these three areas were areas that I was interested in, and so it naturally led to developing practices in these areas. Prior to starting my firm, I spent a decade with NASD, which is now FINRA, which is a securities regulatory organization, and that led to getting some exposure and a lot of experience and knowledge in that field, the securities regulation field, which is the largest part of my practice. The other two areas were areas that I was interested in going back to law school, and was able to stay current in, study in, keep up, and really enjoy helping folks with those small business legal needs, which might be starting a business to dissolving one and everything in between, and then basic estate planning, which I'm sure we'll talk about today, which is just making sure that you're prepared to deal with those what-if situations in life that come up from time to time.
Joel Beck with the Beck Law Firm is our guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio, and of course, with this being a business radio show, most of our listeners are business leaders or business owners, so let's get started on some of the subjects. What's a simple way that business leaders and business owners can help avoid legal disputes with clients?
Well, Mike, that's a great question, and I guess since I'm a lawyer, I kind of have to do this, so let me give my disclaimer for the show, if you will. Hopefully we're going to have a good, informative, and educational discussion today, and I'm happy to be here and talk, but I'm not providing legal advice for any of the listeners today, and just need to remind them that if they need legal advice for their specific situation, they should consult a lawyer. But to your question about how can business owners simply avoid legal disputes with clients. The biggest thing that we see in this area is the need to document your agreement, document your deal with your clients. Problems happen when the business and the client aren't clear on their agreement and they're not operating from the same understanding of their arrangement. So business owners should, those that are providing services and then those retail businesses who are doing special orders, should be sure to use a written agreement. And that agreement should identify the client and the provider, specify the terms of the deal, specify how and when payment will be due and how it is computed, how much is it going to be, and then specify how and where to resolve problems and what the rights of the parties to the agreement are. And when businesses do that, they're going to eliminate a lot of the problems and the misunderstandings that they have with clients. And I think they're going to see perhaps client satisfaction go up as well.
So don't assume anything is what you're saying, first of all. But even if you're buddies with this client, a handshake deal, you still want to protect yourself is what you're saying.
I recommend that all of my business clients that are doing service work in the service industry, professional businesses, or those retail clients that do the specialty retail that, you know, somebody's not walking up to the cash register, checking out, and taking that item right home then and there. I recommend that all of those clients use written agreements with their customers to help avoid problems.
And are you also talking about the fact that written agreements, that phrase can mean as simple as, hey, make sure your invoices are clear and clearly spelled out, all the way up to a full-blown contract?
Yeah, really, it can be it's a contract, right. Stephen. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be 10 pages full of 8-point mice type, you know, legal gobbledygook. But it just really needs to cover all of those things that I just talked about, that covers the big terms, you know, the important terms of the deal, so that everybody's on the same page from day one.
All right, so having a contract is very, very important. What are some other issues and problems that business owners, business leaders face today?
Yeah, well, let me kind of turn this into a different direction. One of the problems that I see that business owners get into has to do with their relationship among themselves. When you go into when you have people that have gone into business together, they need a plan on how to operate the business, how to make those critical decisions, and what to do when the relationship falls apart. I call this the business divorce. They need to plan for that, and it's best to do it early on in the newlywed phase, if you will, when everyone gets along and can agree on a framework on how to address these issues when they arise, because they will arise. The plans are often written down in a shareholders agreement, if the business is a corporation, or in a members agreement, if it's an LLC, or a partnership agreement for those operating as a partnership. And business owners need to plan for the three Ds. What happens when an owner dies? What happens if an owner becomes disabled and can't continue to work, or can't continue to work at the same level or in their traditional role? And then what happens when it's time for a business divorce, meaning when somebody wants out or when other people want somebody else out? All of those things need to be planned for to help facilitate the resolution of these problems when they arise.
Almost like a business owner's prenup. You mentioned divorce.
Yeah.
So it's a prenuptial agreement almost. LLCs, corporations, people that are starting their own businesses. Obviously, you see the commercials these days. You know, it's very important to start an LLC. Talk to that subject a little bit.
Sometimes forming a corporation or an LLC is a good idea. It certainly can be, and people form these entities to help reduce personal liability for the debts or obligations of the business.
Joel, you say sometimes, though.
Yeah.
I would think always. Is there actually times when it's not best to incorporate?
That's what the commercials on the radio say, right? You know, and on TV, form an LLC today, right?
Well, you've got to go beyond just forming it. And if all you're going to do is form it and not do anything else, you're not going to have this magical shield of limited liability, and you're not going to get the value out of it. Owners have to be careful to maintain these business entities, be careful in how they do business, and consider some other risk management tools as well. Let me give you three examples. One, business records. Owners need to follow the law in maintaining their entity. They have to renew it each year with an annual registration statement. They may also have obligations to hold directors' meetings and shareholder meetings for the corporations or members' meetings for LLCs, and they need to document these events and activities and keep their business records current. Point two would be no commingling. Businesses need to function as separate beings and have to have separate bank accounts and maintain separate accounting records. To keep the limited liability protections that they may get under the law, the business has to operate as this independent being, consistent with its governing documents, like its bylaws or an operating agreement. And then third, and this is an area where many people don't understand, owners need to understand that the limited liability protection doesn't necessarily protect them individually from everything. For example, certain professional service providers need to have malpractice insurance, commonly called professional liability insurance, to protect them, because their liability flows to them directly, personally, and not to the business. And so in that regard, businesses should also assess other insurance needs, including general liability insurance, workers' comp insurance, and other needs specific to their business as part of their risk management program.
Joel, as you've worked with business owners over the last few years in your own practice, and you can focus specifically on the two topics we've talked about, forming LLCs as well as relationships with partners and things like that. What are you finding is deficient with business owners? What are you finding that they're missing, that they're making? What are the most common mistakes you're seeing?
Those three points that I just talked about, Stephen, I think would be the primary problems that companies have. They get off to a great start. They're excited to form their business, and then they spend time out doing what it is they do, selling their goods and services and serving customers and taking care of their employees and staff and everything else. And sometimes these other areas get neglected. So not having their agreements or contracts in writing with clients, not keeping up with their business records, not keeping their accounting separate, and maybe commingling funds, and then maybe some deficiencies just in other operational and risk management areas, would be things that business owners could look at when they're kind of given a self-checkup or self-assessment to see how they're doing.
Going back to the setting up an LLC or a corporation, we joked about the radio commercials and the TV commercials for $29.99. You can do this, and
yeah. Oh,
this is so simple. But obviously, as an attorney, as a lawyer, it's probably in the best interest of that business owner or potential business owner to still get with an attorney or lawyer and do it through a lawyer. Or should they just not bother? I mean, how is it important to incorporate or use an LLC? With someone like, with your expertise?
Well, I think that lawyers do provide value to the process, but it really depends on what the person wants. If all they want is somebody to file the papers with the state to form the business entity, whether it's a corporation or an LLC, the lawyer really isn't adding any value there. And you can get that done in numerous ways through one of the companies that advertises on the radio or on TV, or even you could probably just talk to your child, and they can do it. It's a very simple process online.
Sad, but true, isn't it?
a few keystrokes, and it's done. I've often said, Mike, that lawyers don't add value to folks merely by filling out these documents with the state to start a business and filing them. I do get a kick out of those commercials that I hear for the document filing services that loudly proclaim that they're not providing accounting or legal service or advice, but they want business owners to be protected. But if they're not providing advice that people can count on, well, I question, what are they really providing? To your question, I think that lawyers provide add value to clients in these ways. First, it's helping the person determine the type of business entity to start. There are differences between corporations and LLCs and professional corporations and partnerships, and so the lawyer will help analyze the owner's plans and dreams to see what makes sense. And importantly, you have to look at beyond the here and now into where may this business go? What may happen 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 20 years down the road? Because depending on some of the answers you receive, you may change your mind in terms of what type of entity makes most sense to start. Now, the second way a lawyer adds value is in drafting the legal documents in a way that they're tailored to how they want to operate the business. And that's a key distinction there. It's going to be customized and tailored. And then third, and this is the big one, I think, lawyers help their clients understand what to do next and give them some guidance. For example, owners need to understand how to enter contracts so that the liable party is the business and not the owner. They need to understand what else they need to do to get set up, which may include getting business licenses or occupational tax certificates, making corporate resolutions to open bank accounts, protecting intellectual property, obtaining necessary trademarks or service marks. Bottom line, I think lawyers provide a lot of value in helping people go into business, but that value is, in my view, not in filing the document with the state. It's in everything that comes before that and everything that comes after that.
Want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Gwinnett Business Radio. Our guest today is Joel Beck with the Beck Law Firm, alongside Stephen Julian. I'm Mike Salmon, and we've been talking about business law, but a big part of your practice, Joel, of course, is estate planning. Tell us about estate planning. For those that are not familiar with it, what is estate planning?
Well, at its basic level, estate planning is simply the process of putting a legal plan in place that will do three things. One, it will provide for the management and distribution of your assets and for the care of any minor children of yours when you die. Two, it will allow you to appoint someone to manage your affairs for you when you're not able to do so yourself or when you choose not to do so. And then three, it will allow you to appoint someone to help make to make medical or health care decisions for you if you're not able to do so yourself, and sets forth how you want to be treated. So that's estate planning in a nutshell.
For people that are thinking about estate planning, what would you recommend they do? I mean, you hear about wills and trusts and things like that. What exactly do we need? What do we think we need, but we probably don't really need it? I mean, just kind of guide us through that murky water for those that are not familiar with that.
Well, I think that for a lot of folks, estate planning can be done simply, and quite often should be done simply, at least for folks who live here in Georgia. Now, if you're in other states, maybe you're going to need some more complex planning tools than you do here. In Georgia, we have a relatively good set of laws dealing with these issues and a pretty efficient and economical probate system. And so I'm a fan of the simple approach, and that works for most people, I find. One thing that you understand, for 2014, the federal estate tax exemption is $5.34 million. So an individual with assets of less than that amount, if they died this year, wouldn't have an estate that owes any estate tax. Now, for married couples, there's even greater savings because the unused portion of that credit can be portable to the surviving spouse if done right. Some states have state estate tax or inheritance taxes, but Georgia does not. And while we're kind of talking about the tax situation, as an aside, folks should understand that how we calculate the size of the estate, many times life insurance policies that pay out are counted toward this exemption even when the beneficiary was not the estate, if there were sufficient indications of ownership or control of the policy by the deceased. Most people fall under this $5.34 million mark, and so tax planning is not a focus of their estate plan. So unless there's other concerns, most people can do a very simple plan and be just fine. And that simple plan really should include three things: a will that might include a testamentary trust for minor-age children or younger adult children, a Georgia advance directive for health care, and a durable power of attorney. And these three documents can form a complete estate plan for most folks that don't have a taxable estate, don't have any type of special needs or some very significant privacy concerns. And for most people that I work with, they're just fine with a simple plan like this.
Take a minute and focus on working with people, because I'm around estate planning a little bit in my day job, and what I find is everybody knows they need it. Very few people have actually taken the steps to do it. So walk us through the process. What should someone expect? Because I think sometimes the process scares people. Oh, my goodness, this is going to take 10 hours, and this lawyer's going to get into the intimate details of my life. And take us through that process. What should someone expect, and what should someone look for? Because obviously they're going to get the best service with you. So what would that look like?
Well, I think in terms of what to look for, you want to look for somebody who's got some experience in this area and really practices law in this area and has a good understanding of it. In terms of the process, I can only speak for how we do it at my firm, and it's a pretty simple, straightforward process. You give us a call, you contact us somehow, and we have an initial chat on the phone, talk about your situation briefly, and look to see if it might be a good fit. And then if it is, and we're going to move forward, we're going to send you out some materials. Of course, we send an engagement agreement, which is our contract. Okay, I eat my own cooking, so to speak. Okay, I'm talking to business owners and telling them to use contracts and written agreements. I do that with my clients too, right? So we're going to document what our engagement is, what we're going to do, what we're not going to do, and what the fees will be for that. And then we're going to send out a questionnaire for folks to work at completing at home, putting down some personal information, having them begin to think about what do they want to do if, you know, if this happens, then what? We're going to give them some guidance, too, and we'll meet. We usually have an initial consultation at my office, and that usually lasts between an hour to two, depending on how complex their situation is. After that, we take all of the information, and we go and we prepare the documents, and they're going to be custom-tailored, you know, for each of our clients, the wills, the advanced directives for health care, and the durable powers of attorney. We'll get a draft out to the clients. We'll review it with them. We'll make any revisions to the plan if needed. And then we schedule a signing ceremony where they come into the office and we have the appropriate witnesses there. And we go through the legal formalities of executing the documents. And that usually takes, you know, 20 to 30 minutes. And that's it. And then you've got your plan and you're done. It's been executed right. It's valid under the law. And you're good to go. But let me say this. Once it's done, you're not done. You can't just forget about it.
Things change.
Things change. And you need to take a look at this, I recommend, once a year and make sure, does this plan still meet my wishes? Am I comfortable with this, or do we need to look at making a change?
I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there that don't have their estate planning in order right now because – unless they know something we don't know, we're all going to go at some point, and they don't want to think about it. Is it ever too early to make these kind of plans? Because, you know, I look at the three of us. I think we all look fairly healthy. We're all fairly young for the most part. You know, do people like us need to even worry about this? I know the answer, but I'm setting you up, Joel.
I like being set up here. That's a good question, Mike. I think that many folks believe they don't need to do any planning until they get older. Consider themselves old and think that they have some sizable assets. And yet, it's important to have plans in place then.
And that's a good point, too. I mean, all folks say, I don't even own anything. Why do I need to even bother?
Well, some folks fail to understand that it's vital to plan when you have young children. Not so much for the distribution of assets part, but planning is critical to make sure that the children are taken care of. Parents need to make sure that they've designated the right folks to be guardians of the children and have identified backup guardians as well. And then they need to identify and select people to be trustees to manage the assets for the children and have backups for that position too. So really, planning becomes important much earlier than many people think, especially if they have children, regardless of their asset level.
Can you also take a minute and talk a little bit, because I think sometimes people don't deal with this because, like Mike said, we don't want to talk about death. But I think also some people might need to be motivated a little bit and might be thinking, well, if I don't do any of these things, what's that going to look like? So take a second and talk about if the unfortunate happens and you haven't created an estate plan, what are your heirs going to be looking at?
If you die without having put plans in place, well, every state, including Georgia, has what are called laws of intestacy. So if someone dies without a will...
Laws of intestines?
Intestacy.
Okay. Listen, Mike.
Laws of intestacy. And so if someone dies without a will, then their assets will be distributed in accordance with their state's plan. The assets don't go to the state. People misunderstand that. Georgia doesn't get your money and your stuff unless no other heirs can be located after a reasonable time. But, you know, for some people, this plan is okay. The plan, the default plan that the state has codified under law. But for many people, they would prefer to do it differently. And for parents of minor age children, I think it's much better for us to identify who should raise our kids rather than having a court really try to sort that out on its own. And so in my view, having an estate plan is the way to go.
Speaking of wills, and we're talking with Joel Beck with the Beck Law Firm, I actually did my will, a lot of my work online. Doing my will online, was that a good idea?
Well, it depends. Mike, if you were very familiar with estate planning, if you were knowledgeable of the state's laws and the probate system, and you understand the ins and outs of doing this type of work, and you've got a high comfort level, then I'd say, yeah, you know, that's a pretty good idea. But folks who don't have that knowledge are wading into some treacherous waters, I think. Let me give you an example. I had a friend bring me his will for review. He had completed this through some type of online system several years ago before I started my own firm, and he had some questions about it and wanted me to look at it. When I reviewed it, I found a few problems. There were some names that were misspelled, and one person who was listed as a backup executor was never intended to be put in that position. And so that could have a problem down the road. Another problem we identified were that assets were to go to his children if his spouse died before him, and they would be turned over to the children at 18. Now, most 18-year-olds aren't mature enough to handle receiving any type of sizable inheritance, and there are ways to make sure that the child is cared for while they finish school, develop a work ethic, and then distribute those assets in stages as appropriate. Another problem we found with this person's will was that the guardian for his children was the same as the trustee. Now, that's not necessarily a problem, and it is allowed, but in doing this, it potentially put a lot of work onto one person, and you lose some accountability. When you spread the work around, you can create some checks and balances into your plan as well. And then the fourth issue we had was that no one advised him of how to handle his non-probate assets, such as his IRA and his 401k retirement plan and life insurance. He thought his will would handle all of these things, but it didn't, and no one told him that. Now, those are just a few examples of some problems I've seen when people do planning without a lawyer. I've heard of situations where the documents are not signed properly and they don't become effective, and that would obviously be a big risk in the do-it-yourself legal services area as well, I think. And so those are just some reasons why I think that lawyers who work in this field can add some value to clients in the estate planning area, and why I generally recommend that folks at least consult with an experienced estate planning lawyer when they have needs in this area.
And Joel, you started the interview with a disclaimer that I'm glad you didn't repeat the disclaimer after every answer you gave, but somebody can go back and rewind it and listen to it before every answer. But on those online stuff, almost all of them say, make sure you have this reviewed by an attorney, because that's their disclaimer. We'll help you get the documents ready, but if you want to make sure they're right, you do need to sit down with an attorney and have them review it.
Yeah, I think that lawyers can add some value in this area.
Well, and that's what you go back to. There's nothing wrong with do-it-yourself. There's nothing wrong with commoditizing to a point and streamlining to a point. But what an attorney brings to the table, a good attorney is yourself, they bring the ability to ask the right questions. They bring the ability to take it to the form of a relationship. They bring the ability to do something over a long term, lots of reviews. Let's keep working forward through this process that is your life.
And I would add on to that, for someone who maybe has done a lot of their own work, their own, whether it be online or whatever, and they feel like, you know, I know what I'm doing, probably not a bad idea to take all the work they've done, whether it's incorporate, LLC, put their wills, trust together, maybe have it reviewed by a friend that might be an attorney or a lawyer.
Well, certainly don't throw it out, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong. You don't need to pitch it all and start all over. Just get it reviewed.
Right. It's not a thing of pride. Well, I know what I'm doing. Just why not have an attorney look at it? I mean,
I had a friend that used to say dangerous last words were, well, all I got to do is, and then fill in the blank. So
yeah, we're having a good conversation.
Let's include Joel.
We'll let Joel come back in the conversation here. Joel Beck with the Beck Law Firm. And by the way, it's the Beck Law Firm LLC. So he does not only just talk the talk, he walks the walk, as he said. We've talked about a lot of things, Joel, here on the show. You know, business law, estate planning, creating a corporation or an LLC. A lot of folks that have been listening, maybe some are, all they're hearing is legal gobbledygook and words like that. People relate to stories. Is there a story that you could share with us? Obviously, take the names out, change the names, whatever, to protect the innocent or not so innocent, but of someone that maybe did not have a will and this is what happened to them, or they did not incorporate correctly or confer with a lawyer. Do you have some stories that you could share with us? Might have been somebody that ran into problems and realized, okay, I've messed this up. I better go see Joel now. Anything you could share like that?
One of the worst types of stories that I hear, Mike, is when folks go into business together and they don't plan for that business divorce. There comes a point in time, sometimes it's sooner rather than later, when the owners have a falling out and they need to separate and they can't agree on how to do it. Or you've got some owners over here that want the other guy or gal out. But that other person is perfectly content staying in, doing no work, but sitting back and collecting their share of the profits. And it leads to a lot of tension. It leads to a lot of animosity and just a really unpleasant work situation. And I've seen a lot in these situations that folks are just consumed by stress and worry and anger. And then they often wind up paying lawyers a whole lot more money than they ever should because they've got to get out of this situation and they've got to figure a way out. Tensions are high between the owners. They can't get agree on what they're going to do, how they're going to split up, or what the plan's going to be going forward. And if they would have just taken some time and a little bit of resources early on to do some of this, you know, more simple planning, all of this would have been avoided.
The best businesses and the best individuals are willing to talk about hard subjects even when times are good. You talked about the 3 D's. Nobody wants to – a lot of it is they don't want to talk about bad things possibly happening because the future is full of so much hope because we're starting this business. Let's talk about what could go wrong. I mean, that's really what you're talking about.
Talk about what can go wrong and talk about what can go right.
Good.
How are we going to plan for this? You know, how are we going to respond to and deal with these what-if situations, whether we're talking about in our business life or, you know, in our individual life with estate planning concepts?
And when it came to business planning, you called it you did say the 3 D's, and one of the D's was divorce, but that doesn't always hold. Sometimes it's we've grown to such a place that this is a successful step. Sometimes, you know, divorce almost always brings negative connotations. But with business owners, it doesn't always have to be because we're disagreeing. Sometimes it can be because we're now splitting into two different things. I mean, so again, it can be positive in the conversation. And also, I think sometimes business owners, and also we talked about it with personal estate planning, oh, there's nothing there. Well, we're just starting out. There's nothing really there. And part of what you need to bring up is you can be funding things from the beginning. We're talking about using insurance. We're talking about using other things. But there's always something, even from day one, there's always something to protect. Is that basically a fair statement?
Yeah. At least you hope there will be. Yeah. And most people who do get into business have – you know, grand plans, and they're committed to being a success, and they've got some goals, and that's what they're working for. And so doing a few simple planning steps at the front end can help alleviate some problems down the road.
And they're usually bringing more than $5 to the table when they start a business.
Usually, yeah.
And, Joe, let me ask you this. You know, you talk about planning and helping these people get things in order. So for those that may be listening, I want to make sure we're clear on some of the expertise. You obviously can help people on the front end. Can you help folks on the back end if also now they're going through a messy divorce because they didn't plan? Does your law firm help with people that are already having the problems as opposed to just helping you get not have the problems in the first place?
It depends on the situation, Mike. We do a lot of planning on the front end and during the operation part. But when you get to that point, sometimes we're just not a good fit and we need to bring in somebody who's more of a commercial litigator. But we do keep a deep contact list. And so certainly if it doesn't seem like we're a good fit, if we're not the right firm for them, hopefully we're going to be able to put them in touch with somebody who will be able to serve them well.
All right, Joel. Joel Beck with the Beck Law Firm. For those out there that have been listening that would like to find out more information about your law firm or reach out to you about your services, where would you ask them to go?
You can find some great information about us online at thebeckfirm.com. You can also find some good information about these subject areas we've talked about today on my blog, and that's at www.bdlawblog.com, bdlawblog.com, and from there you'll find all of our contact information. Our office is in Lawrenceville, and with our small business practice, with our estate planning practice, we serve folks all across the metro Atlanta, North Georgia area. And we represent clients nationwide in our securities regulation practice as well.
All right. Joel Beck with the Beck Law Firm, LLC. Joel, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Stephen. Good to be here with you today.
All right. I want to remind all our listeners that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and that you can listen to any of our programs 24/7 by logging on to gwinnettbusinessradio.businessradiox.com. For Stephen Julian, LLC.
You know, Mike, one of the New Year's resolutions we ought to mention, and I'm actually being serious this time.
Okay.
One of the New Year's resolutions, we always want to interview good business leaders in the Gwinnett area. So if you're listening to this broadcast, they can contact you, right? Why don't you give your contact information, Mike, LLC?
You're turning the tables on me.
I'm turning the tables. I'm interviewing you, Mike.
If anybody wants to be featured, have their business be featured on Gwinnett Business Radio, and they do business in Gwinnett or they're based in Gwinnett, either or, give us a call here at the studio. And the phone number here at Gwinnett Business Radio is 770-291-2067.
They can also email you at mike@businessradiox.com.
mike@businessradiox.com.
Also email me, steven@businessradiox.com.
They can do that as well.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. I interrupted you.
And we're always looking for great guests that have great stories to tell. For Steven, I'm Mike, as you already know. And we'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.